Philippians chapter 1, verses 3-8. This is the reading of God's word. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the preaching of your word. As we hear your word, let us be more and more like your Son. Cause our faith to grow, so that with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ and the eternal reality of our salvation that he has accomplished for us. Let us meet your Son in the Word. Let us have fellowship with him. And let us see through your Word what your Son Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. Let us see who we are in Christ now and forever, that we may rejoice and give all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We will finish up this section, verses 3-8, and we'll begin verse 9 next time. As you know, we have talked about this as a conclusion to this section I want to deal with. The one problem, I'm sure the Philippian church had many problems, just like any other churches. But one of many problems in that church was that members did not live in unity. We could see this from chapter 2, verse 2. Paul says to them, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." And chapter 4, verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Paul even mentions names, and he urges them to live in harmony in the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says to them, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." So from these verses, we could tell that members that had problems living in unity. Now, to help the people at that church, even from the very beginning, Apostle Paul teaches us through salutation and the thanksgiving sections of this letter, Paul shows their eternal reality, our eternal reality, in which they live, which we live forever in perfect unity. In which they live forever with one purpose and one mind. And let's go back to salutation, verses 1 and 2. We see many pairs. And first pair, obviously, we see in verse 1 is Paul and Timothy. Then we see another pair, overseers and deacons. And another pair, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we widen our view, then we have overseers and deacons and all the saints. That pair. And we also see Jesus Christ and his servants, Paul and Timothy. And we see Jesus Christ and all the saints. And Paul and Timothy and all the saints. Now, he does this pair for a reason. And when we look carefully at the senders, Paul and Timothy, and how Paul is describing themselves, Paul and Timothy, we see that here in the letter to Philippians, Paul does something that he does not do in any other letters. If we look at how Paul describes the senders in the other letters, this is what he does. Sometimes Paul alone is mentioned. The other times when Paul and other are mentioned, the description for Paul and the other person are always different. For example, 2 Corinthians, Paul and Timothy. But here, Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. But Timothy is described as our brother. We see the same thing in Colossians. And Philemon, again, Paul and Timothy, but there, Paul is a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy is our brother. Only in Philippians, Paul and Timothy are both bondservants of Christ Jesus. The description for both Paul and Timothy are the same, only in this letter. Because of the problem that this church has, that Paul does this. Paul puts Timothy in this letter at the same level as he. He doesn't do this in other letters, but here he does. In terms of authority, of course, Paul is above Timothy. But Paul raises Timothy to the same level, to the same place of glory as himself. And Paul does the same thing to all the other pairs in this letter. Overseers and deacons. But overseers are the ones who oversee the ministry of deacons. And we are not talking here about pecking order, but again, in terms of authority that God has given to these offices. But here, Paul puts them in the same level, puts them in the same place of glory. But obviously, all this flows out from the relationship in the Trinity. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need to be very careful here and listen very carefully. Here, when we talk about Jesus Christ, we are not talking about Jesus Christ in terms of Him being our eternal God. Jesus as the eternal God, then God the Father and Jesus, they are of the same substance and they are equal in power and glory. But here we are talking about Jesus Christ in terms of Him being the Messiah, the man Messiah. As the Messiah, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10 says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted him. See, when you see that God the Father exalts Jesus Christ, you cannot think Jesus Christ in terms of him being eternal God, because he's already exalted. There's no reason for God to exalt him. But we're talking about Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as our representative who came as a man to do all this work that he has done. And after he did this, God the Father exalts him. He puts him in high places. We're looking at that. So he says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The Father exalts Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ receives all the glory with the Father. This is what he means when Jesus says, you know, Matthew 28, Jesus says at the end, he says, all the authority has been given to me. Now, as an eternal God, all the authority is already given to him. There is no reason for the Father to give authority to eternal God Jesus. But when he says, the Father gave me all the authority, what does it mean? As the Messiah, as he accomplishes all things as the Messiah, Father gives authority to him. So it is the Father who raises the Messiah to the same level of glory. And because Paul sees that, he does the same. He put Timothy at the same level of glory. Now, all of us will participate in the glory of Christ. Christ exalts all of us to receive the same glory that he is receiving as the Messiah. We are seated at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. Can you see there that God has exalted you to high place where he is? Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, Jesus says, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He says, I will grant to my people to sit down with me on my throne. He is exalting us at the same level of glory when that day comes. But spiritually, this is already our reality. We will reign as the kings with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true King. All the eternal inheritance that Jesus received, we too participate in receiving that eternal inheritance. He exalts us, his people. But we must remember how he is exalted by the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also God highly exalted him. So why? What was the reason that God the Father exalted Jesus? Well, Jesus served God, and he was obedient, even to the point of death, for that reason. Meaning that by serving and giving himself to other people, he was exalted. And we must do the same. And Paul is doing that in this letter. We must serve one another. We must give ourselves for one another. Thus, Christ will exalt us. We are exalted to the place of glory. All of us are in this together. But just as Father exalted Christ because he served God and others, we must do the same. We must consider others more important than ourselves. We must have the mind of Christ. And that's what he says in chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection, compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus has done. He considered you and me more important than himself. That's why he came and died for you. He considered your interests more important than his own interests. Have this attitude in yourself, which also was in Christ Jesus. And Paul is showing that reality. He exalts Timothy. And he calls the Philippian church to do the same so that they could live in unity. They could live in harmony. Now, that reality is also witnessed in the Thanksgiving section that we are looking at, verses 3 to 8. Paul is united to Jesus Christ, and all the saints are united to Jesus Christ. Thus, Paul is also united to all the saints in Jesus Christ. We are all united to one another in Jesus Christ. That is the fact. Whether you like it or not, we are all united in Christ. This is our reality. And every reality has to be understood in this term. You cannot do anything without understanding that we are united. That what you do affects every one of us. You don't think so, but it does affect because we are united. We already studied about this union, so let us move on. Paul says that he loves the congregation of Philippian church with the affection of Christ Jesus, or the heart of Christ Jesus. He says, I love you with the heart of Christ. He says that in verse 8. Now, what Paul is understanding here and what you and I, we need to understand here is that Jesus Christ loves them through him. That's what Paul understands. Yes, Jesus loves you. But Jesus loves you through me. Jesus loves these people through you. That is why you exist. So that you may witness Christ. And Paul understands this. Yes, God loves his people. But how does he show that love? It's through his people. I mean, he could do any other way too, but this is his design. Let's say in our church, a brother is hungry. Let's say he doesn't have money to buy food. Well, how does God then show his love for that brother? Through you, through all of us. The offerings that we give, we use that to help that brother. So the love of God is shown to that brother through his people. Paul understands this. That's why he just describing the reality that he's in. I love you with the heart of Christ. What this is what Galatians 2:20 says. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. If you really believe that Christ lives in you, and that Christ who lives in you, what is he doing? He loves his people. And if it is no longer you who live, but Christ lives in you, then how will that life show itself? By you loving one another. It's all by faith. See, what is the problem is that you don't believe any of this. You think that your brother is someone else. Yeah, we come to same church, but that's about it. There's nothing more than that. You don't believe what Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. That's why it doesn't come out. That's why it's all about me and just my earthly family and, you know, everything else, who cares? But that's not what the Bible shows our reality is. And we must believe. And Paul believes, and that is why he is able to say this kind of stuff. Because it is true. Just the fact that Christ has done what he has done and accomplished what he has done, I am able to say, I love you with the heart of Christ. Because that is my spiritual reality. And if you don't believe me, wait until you see me in heaven. I will perfectly love you with the heart of Christ. It is my reality. It is who I am. It is what I have become when Jesus made me a Christian. And I need to believe it. And when I believe, I will act according to that belief. In verse 7, Paul says, I have you in my heart. Paul is in the heart of Jesus Christ. All the saints are in the heart of Jesus Christ. Thus, all the saints are in the heart of Paul. This is also our reality. Do you doubt that you are in the heart of Christ? Do you doubt that all Christians are in the heart of Christ? I find you in the heart of Christ because that's where I am also. And we must believe this reality in our lives. We must carry one another in our hearts. And that is who we are. And if you don't believe me, again, wait until we go to heaven. I will guarantee you, you will have me in your heart forever and ever. And I, the same. This is what has happened to us. Jesus Christ has made this reality our present reality and forever reality. See, we're not just talking about just imagination. We're talking about what is true of us because of what Christ has done. That is why Paul is actually saying this. I have you in my heart. I love you with the heart of Christ. This is all true. Not because that Paul actually does all this perfectly, but because of what Christ has done and accomplished. Even if you don't do it perfectly, it's still our reality. But when you don't do it perfectly, then you are sinning. And we don't want to do that. We want to do as much as possible. We want to witness this reality that Christ has accomplished. See, don't think here, you know, Paul is just great Christians and we are just nobody. Don't think it like that. Paul is not saying this to show that he is great Christian. Paul is saying all this by faith. He is telling you what is true. That's all. The problem is, he believes and we don't. We don't believe, that's why we don't say it. But if you believe, you know it's true. I will always have all of you in my heart, forever and ever. I will love you with the heart of Christ, forever and ever. That is who I am. And that is who you are. And you need to believe it. We are united. You know, in Acts, we see Paul persecuting Christians. Now, in Acts 9, you know, Paul is persecuting Christians and he's actually going around and killing Christians too. And in Acts 9, Jesus appears to Paul, but at that time, Paul was Saul. You know, his name changes later. And in chapter 9 of Acts, verse 4, Jesus asked Saul at that time, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, analyze that. Paul never met Jesus until then. And he was persecuting Christians. You know, when Stephen was killed, Paul was there. But Jesus comes to him and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" To persecute Christians is to persecute Jesus himself. Because my union with Christ, if you persecute me, you are persecuting Jesus himself. And vice versa, yeah. Whether you accept or not, that is the reality. That is what is true. Amazing. But this is what Jesus has accomplished. He is in us, and we are in Him. Thus, we are one with one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12 says, "And so, by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ." When you sin against brother, it says you sin against Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." Suffering of Christ is ours. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, "Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Another translation says, "Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you." Even when you speak, you're representing God. That's who you are. If you're a Christian, you have to accept that. Because that is what you're doing as a Christian. You're representing Christ. As our representative, Jesus Christ has done and accomplished all things for us. Now as we live our lives, we live representing Him. We witness Him. We witness that He is in us and working in us. No, we are not His representative like He is our representative. The representation, there's a difference, big difference. But we do represent our Lord Jesus Christ as we live our lives here on earth. We are participating in His life. We are living the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are united in this. We are in this together. And in heaven, we will love perfectly one another with the heart of Jesus Christ. And that reality is already accomplished spiritually in Jesus Christ. And we must witness that reality in our lives, in the life of this church. We are united to each other in Jesus Christ. We are one body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we have what Paul calls participation in the gospel, verse 5. The fellowship of the gospel, verse 5. And we all are the partaker of grace, verse 7, Paul says, "Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me." We must understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" God describes church as a body. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, we just have different functions. But we're one body, doing the same work. And He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you.'" We can't do that. As a body of Christ, we cannot say to any other member of this church, "We don't need you." Because that is not God's design. You know, sometimes You wish you could just do it all by yourself because you don't want to deal with people. You know, dealing with people is pretty tough job. But that is God's design. No one is able to do all by himself. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25 through 27, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Again, you must believe. The fact that you don't feel it is your sin. But the fact is that if one member suffers, then the other members suffer with it. That's the fact. Because it is the body of Christ. One part, little part of the body of Christ is suffering. You know, that's the concept that he's trying to get at you. Let's say your little finger, you know, is hurting. You don't say to yourself, well, that's just one finger, that's not part of me. So that's one finger suffering, it's not me suffering. You don't do that. In fact, when you have, like, when you, like, your finger gets caught in the like, door or something. And if you don't believe me, do that today. You do it to yourself. I guarantee you, it's not just your finger. Your whole body will hurt. It will. You will even have a headache because of that pain. And that's the reality that God wants you to understand. We have different tasks, we have different functions, but we are doing the same work, the work of the gospel. And in this, we need one another, because that is God's design. No one person can do all this by himself or herself, but you guys have to really understand that we live the one life. We are doing the one work. And it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, witnessing Jesus Christ, so that his kingdom will be furthered. Listen to what Paul says. When you read this for first time, did you understand it? Paul says, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. Partakers, you know, partners. Now, imprisonment. Paul is in jail, yes, but they are not in jail. But Paul says, you are partner in my imprisonment. What is he saying? Again, Paul is understanding the reality that Christ has accomplished. It is just amazing. In the defense and confirmation of the gospel, Paul is the one who preaches and teaches, and they're not doing this. What do you mean that you are partners with Paul in defense and confirmation of the gospel when they ever do that? But this is Paul's understanding. And thus, this must be our understanding. You and I are doing the same work. Even though you're not the one who's preaching, even though you're not the one who's teaching, you're going to your companies, your workplace, you make money doing all kinds of things, but you need to understand, like Paul does here, that we are doing the same work. We are partners in defense and confirmation of the gospel. You and I are doing the same work. We are all partakers of grace and the gospel. We are the partners in this. This is what Paul said. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the reality. One body, one Spirit, one Lord, one calling, one faith, one baptism, one God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And it's not just your purpose and you call everybody to join in your purpose. No, the purpose is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, these are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but do each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Yes, all kinds of gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, but all that, and you have a different gift than I do, different talents, different skills, but it's all for the common good. It's for the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 through 16, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causing the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Chapter 4, verse 12, for equipping of the saints for the work of the service, for the building up of the body of Christ. Do you understand? What are we doing together? Building up the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the church. All is for the building up of the body of Christ. Even though all of us are doing different things, but ultimately we are doing the same thing. The whole congregation of the Philippian church is partakers with Paul in all of God's work. That's what Paul says. That's how Paul understands. And we must understand the same truth. And you say, how can I say to myself, I'm partaker with Pastor Kim in preaching and teaching and spreading the gospel? Well, you pray for me. You go and make money and you give to church so that we may do this. What if I just preach and teach and you guys don't even make any money? Will that work? You guys have to do your part. We just have different functions, but we are doing the same work. Somebody has to go make money. Somebody has to prepare sermons and preach. Somebody has to do this, and other people have to do that. But understand that we are doing the same work. Otherwise, you don't know what you're doing. To build up the body of Christ. Pastor cannot do all this by himself. I need people who pray. I need people who make money. I need people who, you know, look out for one another, who love one another, who serve one another. Without the whole body, this work cannot be done. But always understand, just because you're not preaching yourself, you're not partners with me in that. You are. This is God's design. That we do this together. So don't think that you're just doing your thing and I'm doing my thing. You know, pastor has his thing and I have my thing. That's not how the Bible describes our lives. The whole congregation, they are partakers with Paul in all of God's work. Philippians chapter 1 verse 19, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provisions of the Spirit of Jesus." You know, it's so amazing. We'll get to that in verse 19. Verse 19 is amazing to me. Paul says, all this will turn out for my deliverance through the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I think that should be enough, no? Everything will happen through the provision of the Holy Spirit, period. But he doesn't do that. He says, that and your prayers for me. Because God works through people's prayer. You know how important prayer is? Without your prayer for me, I can't do this. And when you see me, my work, being, you know, going, I don't know, downward, you know, my work is not as good as it should be, many times it's because you're not praying. You know, I'm not superhuman and you're not superhuman either. We're all together. We are in this thing together. Without your prayer, I cannot do. See, this is what I need to have. I need to have that confidence that many people are praying for me faithfully. And you got to have confidence that, you know, your pastor is praying for you faithfully. But you have to understand that don't just leave it up to pastor. You know, he's gifted, he's good, he's excellent. Oh, don't ever do that. Because God's design is not that pastor is so talented that this will work. No. His design is that we gotta do this thing together. Otherwise, pastor might be talented, then he will be talented in a worldly way, and he will be successful, but that is not bring God's glory. It's not about pastor being talented. It's about whole congregation understanding that we are in this thing together. You must do your part. And I boldly say to you, one of your part is go make money. I have no shame to say that. Because if I'm not pastor, I will have that understanding and I will go out and work hard to make money. Because I got to do God's work. But we don't live for making money. That should not be our purpose. Our purpose is to build up Christ's body. He says, through your prayer, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, he says, only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you and you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And chapter 1, verse 30, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in, even in his imprisonment, even in his experiencing all these sufferings, you are suffering with me, he says. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 through 15, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. We studied this when we studied 2 Corinthians. It was the Philippian church alone gave these offerings to Paul when he was taking that money to Rome. And when I say Rome, don't think Roman Catholics. The church in Rome at that time. Through collection of money, they participated in the ministry of Paul. This is our reality. Pastors, elders, deacons, and all the saints in Christ and Heaven OPC, we are all united in this. With the heart of Christ, we love one another and have each other in our hearts. We are all partakers of grace and the gospel. We together participate in the sufferings and victories of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are the partakers in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Whether you pray, whether you share the gospel, whether you work to make money, remember, you are working together. We are working together. And we are living the same life, life that belongs to Christ. You must believe, brothers and sisters. Do not judge anything by what world tells you, but by what the Bible tells you. Bible tells you what is your life, how is your life, what is your reality. And you must believe. We must give ourselves to one another. Thus we are exalted by our God to the place of glory together. Together with our Lord Jesus Christ. As his people do this, God exalts all of us together to that place of glory. And with Jesus Christ, we will receive the glory. This is the will of God, brothers and sisters. So, John, don't just depend on your pastor. But understand that you are partners with me. Pray very hard. Please pray. Without your prayer, this church will not work. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you that you have united all of us to Christ so that we are united to each other. That even though we might do all these different things, but we thank you that we are actually doing the one work. We have one purpose, one heart, one mind, one God, one Spirit. Oh, Father, we are one body. And let us witness this reality. Let us truly believe, and let us do everything according to that reality. Oh, Father, let us realize how we are called in this wonderful calling to witness Jesus Christ, build up His body. Let us do this work with joy, and let us do it diligently for the glory of our God. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.